Joining me in the studio this morning are Carolyn Servid. She's the co-director of the Island Institute, and Elena Gustafson is the program associate at the Island Institute. And I guess, Carolyn and Elena, your big fundraiser is tomorrow, the Island Institute auction. And this is sort of your big deal, isn't it?
It's very much our big deal.
Yeah.
We've been doing it every spring for somewhere between 15 and 20 years. I'm not sure the number exactly at this point, but it is a big fundraiser for us, and it's a huge, generous show of support from the community in terms of the donations that we've gotten, things we're going to be auctioning off.
It's amazing to see what the community can produce, and this event seems to be a place where a lot of it comes together.
Well, and it's not just the craftsmanship. Services, all kinds of things. I mean, the prices range from $12 to $700. There's artwork. There's imaginative services. We always have a surprise event from John Straley, Norm Campbell. We have a truckload of gravel almost every year. That's a generous donation from Mick Tischer. There are dinners. There's definitely artwork. This year we have quite a selection of framed pieces that were donated to us by a neighbor of ours who left town. And so we have probably 8 or 10 different framed pieces of art that are going to be featured in one section of one of the silent auctions. And then there's everything from kitchen appliances to massage to yoga classes to scarves and jewelry. And
sorry, I have to ask, the vasectomy, is that on the table?
No,
this year?
It's not
okay.
This year.
Right.
Nope.
Always a popular item.
A popular item.
I imagine, Elena, you've been running around like wild, pulling all this stuff together.
A little bit. I mean, we have help from our board members to gather everything, so it's not just Carolyn and Doric and I running around and asking people for things. And I'm fairly new to the community, and I've been really impressed by the generosity. I mean, some of the calls that I've made, you know, there's no trying to convince businesses or individuals to give to the auction. Didn't have to list off all of the good things that the Island Institute does. People were really ready and willing to give to the auction, which for me, being new to town, was really impressive. So we had a lot of people. It has been running around collecting things, but not a whole lot of convincing people or give very easily.
Yeah, that sounds about right. What time should people show up tomorrow?
7 o'clock is when it begins, and the silent auctions will begin then. The live auction will begin at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And Ken Fate will be our auctioneer, and he always makes it a lively, fun time. So, and we have catering from Ludwig's this year, and live music as well, part of Fishing for Cats. And we have a bit of an Irish theme just because it's St. Patrick's Day, but we're not going all out for the Irish.
People who wear green will be tolerated.
Absolutely.
And what do you mean by a special event by John Straley and Norm Campbell? Is that something you can buy or something that you will experience if you go there?
You can buy. You can bid on this event.
This event.
And so we never know what they're going to do. It's every year it's something different. And indeed, this year it's different than it's ever been. So what it is this year is wine and appetizers and bocce ball for 6 people.
That's the event?
That's the event. And you get to take home an illustrated and brand new haiku. A new haiku written by John and illustrated by Norm.
Okay, now you're talking, because
That's always the crowning piece. But they always have something to go, you know, to go with it.
Wine and bocce ball.
Wine and appetizers and bocce ball.
All right.
On the lawn next to Sitka Sound at the Straley household.
Okay. It sounds fabulous. And the Island Institute is one of those. I'm going to use the word institution. It is definitely an institution in Sitka. And it seems like even now your mission continues to evolve. Like, you've never come with anybody with a program associate before. Elena is new. Let's talk a little bit about that. How did you get staff?
We got staff thanks to a bequest.
Okay.
That was one of the things that allowed us to create this position. It's a half-time position. And we were looking for someone who's interested in the work that we do and wanted to help them learn the ropes of the organization and how a nonprofit functions. And Elena came along and was really the perfect candidate.
All right. Where do you come from, Elena?
I'm originally from New Mexico, so it was kind of a shock coming to Sitka and experiencing water all around
right.
For a while.
And do you have a particular background in literature or writing?
Yeah, I went to school at Whitman College in Washington, and my degree is in environmental humanities, which is a combined major between environmental studies and writing. And I never thought I would be getting paid directly for my major, and a lot of what I learned there transfers pretty easily into some of the work that we're doing at the Island Institute.
Yeah, that must have jumped right off Elena's resume.
It did.
Yeah.
Absolutely did.
Because nature writing doesn't even seem to come close to what the Island Institute is involved in. You have embraced, it seems like, a broad scope of, you know, writing related to place, thinking about place, sustainable communities, and you're going a little bit farther even this summer with a new program. Carolyn?
We are, yeah. We have a new program in July this year, just a 3-day program. It's a community roundtable that we're calling it Resilient Communities, a form of creative resistance. I'm sorry, my mind went blank. And it is focused on resilience because resilience is about the capacity to adapt to change. And one of the phrases we've seen that I really like is the ability to thrive in turbulence. And we're anticipating a lot of changes for Sitka and communities all around the world in coming decades with issues of climate change and ocean acidification and economic upheaval and, you know, all these kind of questions and instabilities that we keep hearing about and worrying about. And we see resilience as a really positive and creative and innovative way to think about adaptation. So for us, it's not the worry. It's more thinking about, okay, so if this is going to be coming, what can we do to be ready for it? What can we do to adapt? And how can we creatively imagine, you know, new ways of living, new ways of doing things?
And resilience and resistance are not incompatible ideas?
Resistance in the sense that what resilience offers is a way to push back against these changes and to push back against the harshness of some of the realities that we're imagining. So it's a creativity that pushes back against something that's difficult.
Okay. And you're going to be bringing in, you said it's a round table. And is it going to be like the symposiums?
No, it will not be. It's quite a change from that. We're bringing in, we have a core group of 12 people who will lead that round table. And there are four local people, four people from Alaska more broadly, and four people from out of state. And it's a mix of scientists. Partly because, let me just say about resilience, that resilience thinking has begun really in ecosystem science. And those folks have understood it by watching species respond to catastrophic change in ecosystems. And then it's been applied more and more in human contexts. So we have three scientists coming. We have a philosopher. We have a young guy who's an expert in social media and digital communities. We have a person who's involved in financial investment advising, who's shaped his whole business now around resilience thinking. So people who are thinking differently about how communities might structure themselves, how individuals can structure their lives, choices that we can make. And we're holding it on the Sheldon Jackson campus, which for us is Sitka's sort of example of resilience. The coming to life of that campus again after being shut down for 4 years and just taking on a whole new identity and creating a whole new space and set of programs and assets and what have you for the community.
And how will the public participate in the roundtable? Will we be just sitting in the audience, or do we have a seat at the table, so to speak?
We're trying a new form. We're going to use a fishbowl kind of format. So the 12 members of the core group will be in the fishbowl at the outset, and we'll start off the conversation. But we imagine the audience will trade places with them from time to time. So the fishbowl will change, and different people will be in the center and participating. So there's definitely a place for audience participation.
And it'll be something that we register for,
yep,
or drop
in?
Or?
We have space for for 30 people to register for the full thing, and then we have drop-in is also optional.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Well, lots of opportunities for public participation and more details. For sure, we're still in the development phases of this whole event. So,
all right, Elena, are you putting up information about this online?
Yes, actually, the Island Institute website is newly redesigned and has a lot more information on it now. So, islandinstitutealaska.org.
All right, Carolyn Servid is co-director of the Island Institute. Elena Gustafson is the program associate. We've been talking about the Island Institute and their roundtable on resilient communities that's happening this summer. But mainly, we've been talking about tomorrow's big evening, 7 o'clock at Harrigan Centennial Hall. It's the Island Institute annual auction.
Everyone's welcome. I might just mention their tickets at Old Harbor Books for $15, and it's $20 at the door. So
All right.
Your tickets early.
Thanks again, Carolyn, and thank you, Elena. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.